This is episode 161 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel. I'm so sad. Manzano.
Why am I sad?
You were promised a gift.
I was promised a gift?
And it did not come. They gave you a shipping tracking number and then told you they never actually shipped it.
Lost.
You were promised justice, and you were given nothing. Yeah, I'm talking about the
points. I'm becoming sad. I'm getting sad. I was told I need to be sad. So
that's right. F's in the chat for the points, everybody, that we didn't get. You might be wondering, where's Will and where's Ryan? We're not entirely sure where Will is, but Ryan is literally putting his computer back together as we speak. He'll be jumping in at some point. Thank you for joining us, everybody. So first thing in the news, we've been talking about it. It was posted on the FFG Discord, and they even posted it on Twitter a week ago saying, yes, we'll be releasing the points by the end of the month. By the end of the month. Oh, we'll be there. It'll be there on Monday. Even as late as Friday, we had FFG staff confirming, yes, it'll be there. And we got word today that no, it wouldn't be. So we're gonna go ahead and talk about this topic first, because I do. Let's play a little speculation game, because I actually do have, I think, a legitimate reason why we probably don't have the points. Okay. So Marcel, I'll give you mine, and I want you to either agree, disagree, and then just bounce it off. So. Okay. I suspect that the PDFs with the new points are already made. They are ready to post. But on those PDFs are also the points of the droid gunships, the Psy shuttle, and the LAT. But because they're not entirely sure when those ships are actually going to be reaching retailers and when we can use them, they are holding back the points, which is why they gave us the arbitrary July window. And once they maybe have more confirmation on when we'll be getting those ships in our hands, then they will release the PDFs. That's what I suspect. What do you think?
I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't put it past them. I don't think that's a real good or legitimate reason to hold up the points. Didn't they release points before a ship launch the last time around anyway?
So it's not like it wasn't exactly the last. I mean, you're not
yeah
wrong.
Because like yeah because Nam Nam, I think it was the Aces pack or something like that, but we had the points before we had the physical ships, because remember there was like a big old thing about when even some stores had it on hand but they weren't allowed to sell them
right
yet, and we had the points for them all along, so while that's a possibility, I don't think that's a good reason to not put stuff out. It's just kind of sad. It's not. I know from the outside looking in, they probably have a lot more considerations. But just from the outside looking in, it's like it's not rocket science. It's just points up, points down. Once you determine what they are, you just release it. They don't have an app to worry about anymore because that app is basically dead. They don't have organized play to worry about because that's not going on anytime soon. At this point, it's just giving a little bit of life, a little bit of, putting a little bit of string out there for a little bit of a, not a lifeline, but giving a little something to the people, to us, to the player. So.
I totally agree. Theory number two, okay? Theory number two is that the crap, I just lost it. Ah, my words. Well, I, you know why I got distracted is because the lovely, the radiant Ryan Stanisewski just made an appearance. His power supply, Ryan, my power supply did not fail, Stanisewski.
Wasn't the power supply's BIOS recognizing whether my hard drive was considered a bootable hard drive that I could use? I was like, my operating system's on there. What's wrong? So I had a little bit of a freak out, and then I fixed it. We're good.
We're fine. But we're just, fine. This is fine.
I'm stuck with one monitor.
No right worries. Now. No worries. No worries. Second theory. Do we think that they believe that they don't have enough data to release a points update?
Ryan, I wouldn't.
What do you? Go ahead, Marcel.
No, Ryan.
No. It's they seem to be going forward. Whether or not they had enough data or not on their RAN events. My current theory, which is what some people mentioned, is they got through all the official documentation paperwork necessary for it, and something didn't pass validation for reasons maybe even outside of FFG. It was LFL related, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and yeah, that was my theory number three. The mouse, something with the approval process. Who knows what it would be? There's a holdup from Disney, right? Because obviously every company is slow right now. That the submission process is there. Now my understanding with the second edition, that they would have a little bit of a faster path to that maybe they didn't have to go through that same process every time like they would for releasing the FAQ booklets. But again, we don't know. But we'll just have to wait and see. Maybe there's some type of, Disney lineup thing. There's a lot of theories right there. We just know. We don't have points. And when we do, you know that we will give you guys a full breakdown. But instead, we're going to go ahead and hit some listener questions. We have some really, really good ones. And the first one I'm going to bring up is something that we're going to circle back as long as I remember to do that. So, Ryan and Marcel, go ahead and find something to write with and something to write on somewhere near you, okay? I'm having the same problem. I realize.
Am I allowed to type on Notepad?
Yeah, sure. But just so you can kind of think about it as we're going. And the question comes from Intoxicated Elf, and it says, if GSP were in charge of creating the basic stats, action, and ship ability of the Razor Crest, what would it be? So I'm not going to put you on the spot to answer it now because that's a lot to think about. But in between, while other people are answering questions, go ahead and just start writing some ideas, and then we will put it out there. All right. So let's go ahead and start with our first question today. We're just going to go down the line. A bunch of you guys submitted stuff on our Discord. If you want to be part of our Discord community, go ahead and type !! Discord or click the link in the description down below. All righty, here we go. So first one here that I want to hit, and I'm going to go ahead and give it to Marcel first. This is from Dashnib, and it says, so would having three Initiative 1 defenders really be that bad?
The answer is, yeah. Oh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one, because part of me says no, part of me says yes. Just because I think the whole curve, the value curve is going up, I don't know how to explain it, but basically in the last points update they didn't nerf really anything. They just buffed other things to make them better. So with the possibility of having eight ships, eight droids. You know, Octocon's list with three agility ships out there causing havoc. I would say you might think maybe not, but then you if you actually play against it, I can imagine that just being a real, real, real pain in the butt, because initiative one ships are not going to get blocked. You're not going to get any blocks on them. They're essentially going to be seven health, three agility, focused and evaded ships that always have time on target with their 4Ks. They will always get their actions. And even if you can have a list that can outfly them, maybe they get a little predictable and, you get shots on them. It's just going to be a really dull and boring. I don't think it'll create a good play experience for the person that's playing against it, especially if you're flying two attack dice ships. So I would say I don't think we'll ever get it. Not so much because of the power curve, maybe more so because it's probably not a fun game to play against. I would hate to play against that.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. You said Razor Crest stats, and I went crazy on it.
How's it going, Will?
It's going great, man.
All right, so if you guys haven't seen, yes, Will cut his beard. What are your thoughts on the having three I-1 defenders?
Oh, the defenders? The I-1 is the only thing that is holding it back, right? Like, he's got all the actions it needs, has all the health and stat line it needs, except for that initiative one. So I think it could be playable. I think I'd rather have, like, two in Darth Vader or something, two in a loaded down Soon Tier or something like that, than the third one. It kind of seems redundant at a certain point.
Fair, fair. And anything else to add there, Mr. Staniszewski?
I'll just, go back to my initial. His main thing is three. I-1 helps the potential that if three exists, I-1 may hold it back enough. But I'm just too concerned that three defenders will act like what people are concerned about right now with eight ship or high ship count, in that you're not going to feel like the games are completed because you've only killed like half a defender or one, half and like almost a half another, because they disengage so well, they can turn around so well if they decide they want to chase you. I get the feeling that a lot of players are going to feel like the games haven't gone to completion if the defenders are played at the most optimal level, because depending on what they're facing, they can either force engagements by just 4King on their own side of the board. They're moving.
I promise this isn't interesting.
Yeah, it is only 9 dice, so it's not crazy with a lot of ships. There's just a very likely chance that it pushes more things out of the meta, and by more things, I mean probably just 2 die attack ships that don't have an easy way to get double modified, I think. So I've always been a proponent of utilizing the pips more. You can make them cheaper. I'm okay with that. I'm hesitant to allowing 3, so make them 2 pip generics.
Fair. I like it. I like it. All right. Our next question is more about is about Squadrons content here. Specifically, this is from Nutano, and it says, what platform will you guys be getting Squadrons on? That's the first part. So myself, Dion, I'm going to be getting it on PC because I have no other reason to own a PlayStation or Xbox. So if it's on PC, which we know it is, I'm just going to do PC. Brian?
as people may have heard, I was working on my PC just a little bit ago, and it's for a potential reason that we're currently talking about right now. So, yes, I do plan on playing Squadrons on PC. I have upgraded my computer. I was going to upgrade my computer, but I pretty much built a new one. The only thing I was able to salvage from my previous is my power supply and my two hard drives I already had in place, because the case ended up having some space issues, so we had to run to the store earlier today and grab a new case. So everything else, basically the engines and the guts are all new, ready for some games and ready for some Squadrons, and if I want to try out VR, I should be good, and I'm excited to give it a shot.
Nice. Will?
Oh yeah, PC all the way. I'm in the same boat that I used to be a hardcore PlayStation guy. Like, that was my like console. It's like where I played games. But I've learned that PC is just better. Not that it's like physically better, but
no,
I just enjoy
it.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, that's we can debate that later.
That's
but,
right.
I just the fact that if I buy a game on an online platform, I can move it from computer to laptop or whatever. And once the consoles run out, man, it's all downhill. Trust me, I own a lot of PlayStation 3 games that I'm not playing.
I will say, if it wasn't for them announcing that this game was 100% cross-play compatible, I would have gone with Xbox, since that's where a predominant amount of my video game friends are at. But because this is cross-play, which is very freeing, you can do whatever you want. Play with all your friends.
There you go. And Marcel.
Sorry, I'm working on my homework. Yeah, PC 100%. There's no, well, multiple reasons why PC. One of them is because I've been a PC nerd since the old Sierra days. So you want to be a hero, Quest for Glory, mid 1990s for all you people with gray hair like me. And two, because I can't play PlayStation anymore I can't hit the buttons that right, but it still works on the keyboard. It's just I can't grab the controller. So if you ever see me playing a PlayStation game, I can do it, but it's awkward as all gets. I was trying to figure out how to say that without keeping it PG.
Yep.
So I end up grabbing it like I like the movement for the second, I don't know what you call it.
The joystick,
the two joysticks in the bottom. I end up putting one to my chin and moving it that way. It's that way I can use my fingers in the top to hit the L1, L2. It gets all, I mean, I make it work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not going to, for Squadrons, I don't want to make it work. There you go. That's reason number two. Like, yeah. Are they going to have that? I'm pretty sure they have joysticks and the whole mm-hmm. nine available for Xbox and PlayStation and stuff like that. But it doesn't beat a good PC setup with the joystick. And speaking of the devil, there we go.
There you go. Same one.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. I'm super excited about it. I played Knights of the Old Republic, the MMORPG.
Yeah.
And I found myself just doing space battles about 80% of the time. So I was playing. I wasn't even playing the missions. I was just doing space battles because I got to use my, got to play around with spaceships.
Nice.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Cool. And
you
also
guys got my blood boiling.
Also, my computer has pretty lights in it, so it makes it faster. That's what I heard. Alrighty, so next question is about Star Wars lore here. This is from Jared Star Wars. Did Mace Windu legitimately defeat Palpatine? So this is in episode 3. Or did Palpatine throw the fight because he knew Anakin was coming? What do you think, Marcel? You're up on the screen now. I'll give it to you first.
I was not listening. Can we give it to me one more time?
Do you think
somebody said repeat it in the the chat?
Here we'll go to Ryan.
No, I want to hear the question again.
No, do Marcel. I think I'm actually I actually have a real book source right now for this.
Ooh. Okay. Did Mace Windu legitimately defeat Palpatine, or did Palpatine throw the fight because Anakin was on his way?
I think he threw the fight. I would like to say Mace Windu has the potential to possibly beat him, but I think he threw the fight. Especially if you go all the way through episode 9 and seeing how many, you know, how deep the puppeteering was,
mm-hmm.
and how deep the whole setup was. If he's going to that extent to where he's creating little he's creating little force using supreme leaders, I'm pretty sure he knew that that was kind of a requirement for Anakin's turn.
All right.
I don't even think it was close, now that I think about it.
All right, Will.
So there's, I've always said the theory that Mace Windu believed he was the chosen one.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I mean, just think about this. He's got, he's a human on the council, right? He's got a special lightsaber. Okay, and he's been naysaying Anakin ever since he walked into that chamber room, right? And I think he was about to do it. I think Palpatine knew.
All right,
that the fight was lost, and he only won by influencing Anakin to help him.
All right, what do you think, Ryan?
So I swore I read it in the novelization of Revenge of the Sith, but I can't find the book. I had like all my Star Wars books like right here. I was like, oh, I might have the answer. But I'm pretty sure, at least remembering a book, reading the perspective of Anakin and Palpatine's mind in those moments, was that Palpatine could sense Anakin on the way and threw it to make it look like he needed Anakin's help and do that trade of like, oh, you help me, I help you save Padme and that stuff. So I think while Mace had a opportunity and could have, Palpatine threw it in that moment.
All right. So for myself, I actually, the Revenge of the Sith book, I just finished it via audiobook. By far, in my opinion, even though it's technically not canon anymore, it is and isn't parts of it, but it is the best novelization of the books out of all of them that I have read. Just because of it actually doesn't just tell you the story, you get inside people's minds and all that. But anyway, that's tangential, whatever the word is. You know what I mean. It's a tangent. For myself, I want to say that Mace legitimately won, and that's just because of the technique of Vapod that he developed, of being able to redirect dark side energy and being able to wear him down. So that's my thought. I think we're split 50-50. Only Palpatine really knows. He dead though. Spoilers. Maybe? Who knows? We thought that before. Alrighty. This is from Funwalk. Do you guys watch/listen to X-Wing content outside of GSP? I'll start. So, pre-quarantine, the answer is yes. I drive a lot, so to work and back. So I would listen to different X-Wing podcasts as I could. Usually, I would honestly listen to them at double speed just to try to get through as many as I can, because I swap between the podcast and audiobooks on my drives. Since we've been in quarantine, I honestly haven't, just because with my time home, I'm taking care of my daughter, working on content for you guys, and of course, I've been planning a bunch of other projects in the background, so that I have not lately, but in normal circumstances, or at least previous normal, the answer was yes. Ryan.
Pretty much the same thing, because at work I would normally have podcasts in the background. I would listen to pretty much everything I could. Fly Better on Tuesdays, Barons on Wednesdays, Crates whenever, Stay on Target once a month, you know, whenever they want to post up their stuff. And then I try to catch a couple of newer ones, like see, you know, anything fresh, new, interesting from other casts. I got into Legion a bit, so I caught up on that. But since the quarantine and me working remotely, I've had a little more ability to control what I can do while I wait for my renders on the farm to just go from 0% to 100% instead of sitting there with the computer listening to a cast and like kind of catching up on like forums, Discord, Matome, stuff like that. I could actually step away from my computer and go do things like around the house. So that kind of has taken away the necessity for me to always be at my computer because I work since I've been working remotely. So I've been kind of behind on that, I guess. I'll be honest, I don't feel a need to listen to GSP again because I'm in it. So I don't know.
I've done this already.
I've done this already. Like, I don't know. I definitely watched, I've gone back and watched games you've casted before.
Right.
Like, I've definitely rewatched Bart versus Olsen for LVO. I watched Duncan versus, but I watched both System Open? No. Because the other System Open
Duncan was
PAX Dev.
Yeah.
Whichever one Duncan didn't win. So that was against Heaver, yeah. Because that's when Heaver took the Swarm and Duncan had that Afterburners Duchess he was flying around with I think Soontir and Whisper or something, I don't know. But yeah, no, I'd catch up on those games, but yeah. Quarantine, not so much because I can step away from the computer. When I'm at work, kind of have to just be there.
Right. I'm trapped. Marcel?
Kind of on the same boat as everyone else. I used to listen to quite a bit of it. And when I was driving to work, I used to commute to work back a few years ago. That was actually a long time ago. Like 3 years ago, I used to commute to work. So I used to listen to all of them. And then for the last few years, I've either been working from home or been walking to work, just like a 5-minute walk. So I haven't, because when I'm at home, I prefer to watch like Netflix or catch up on stuff.
Or you're playing games, right?
Or I'm playing, yeah. Now I'm going to be traveling a lot more for work, and I'm going to be commuting a lot more for work. So I'm probably going to pick up listening to. I'll have a lot of stuff to listen to. Like I'll be literally driving maybe, 5 or 6 hours a week. So being in the car 5-6 hours a week is probably gonna mean I have to find ways to keep myself awake.
Yeah.
So this one, I'm not gonna listen to myself again. I don't like to listen to myself at all. So I'll probably see what's out there. If you guys got some suggestions. What's good? Probably that. But it has to be just like straight podcast because I'm obviously not going to be watching a match or something. That's
right.
Yeah,
like, it's fine. Just put your video on the steering wheel. What's the worst that can?
Or maybe just buy a Tesla and let it auto drive.
Oh, but you're supposed to hold on to the wheel. You're supposed to hold on to the wheel.
No, you're supposed to touch it. Like every 15 seconds, you touch it. So maybe I should just buy a Tesla and watch Gold Squadron.
System don't do opens. It. I don't want you to do it. I don't want that blood on my hands. No, thank you. Anyway,
it's autopilot.
No, yeah,
Yoda and put it.
You know what happens to autopilot drones, right? They blow up. Anyway, next, I think I think.
Yeah. What? I got distracted. podcast. I think I'm just a broken record over here. I used to be able to listen, like have headphones on while I was at work, and I was listening to everything that I could, getting as much content, even sometimes just listening to commentated games recorded. But now I don't have that luxury. So a lot of my content is just coming from X-Wing streams, being able to have access to my computer and having that interaction has been my main source of X-Wing content outside of Gold Squadron.
Nice. All right. Next question is, can you react to some X-Wing memes? Sure. We'll try to find some worthy ones here really quickly on the Discord. Let's see what we got. Okay. Apparently there's some obsession with cloud cars.
I like the K-Wing one. That's good.
So it's a K-Wing with different parts replaced with cloud car halves. Let's see. This is Obi-Wan. Why did the movies come out? 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. In charge of scheduling, I was. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Because Yoda's talking. Grimwolf. No. Lame. All right. Love you. Oh, God.
The pickle peanut butter?
Peanut butter. That's just bullying. That's not even a meme.
Dion. If it was pickle-flavored jelly on a peanut butter sandwich.
No. No. All right. I'm out. All right. Here we go. This looks meme-y and about X-Wing. No. You can't just shoot after you slam. Haha, auto blasters go pew pew pew. All right. It's true. And that's the end of meme review. Very exciting. Up your meme game. Okay, I guess that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, like, we had some serious gold happen today that you can meme about.
Yeah, I mean, like, where are you at? Where are you at? All right, so we'll give you another chance. Listen, I forgot who submitted that one. We tried, but there was just nothing quite worthy of that big attention. But it's all right. We'll go ahead and move on to our next question. Hopefully we didn't make you sad thinking that that we don't love your questions. All right. So next one comes from, let's see, Funkmaster Flex asks, what faction do you think has the best main theme music? I will start. It's clearly the Empire. I think so. So
I'm trying to think of all the music for each faction right now.
Can I stretch this to Hux's speech in First Order? I would like that just playing as my ships are coming out of hyperspace and start shooting upon you.
Fair. I mean, honestly, Kylo's theme isn't bad either.
What is the scum theme?
Didgeridoos or whatever they are.
It's just recorders. Actually, that theme is really solid as well.
By the way, one of the last two episodes of the documentary series Mandalorian is all about its audio and how they scored it, and it's really good.
It's really awesome.
It's a complete series now. You should go watch all the documentaries.
Learn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other thoughts, Marcel? It's kind of a short one.
No, I mean, obviously, I like them all because I was watching definitely the Vader theme. It's not like a whole Empire theme, but just like the Vader's. When his music comes on, you know it's Vader. Like, you don't even need to hear the, you know, you just know. But I actually like the Rebel Fleet one. Like, dun, 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 dun. It kind of is like a slow build.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as recognizable as the Empire, because the Empire, as soon as it kicks in, you know what it is. But the Rebel one, it starts off just like a like horns. You know, you only get the horns like boom, 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 and it takes a little minute for you to know, like, okay, this is what it's about. But when it's in full effect, it's good. Have any of you kind of little sidetrack? But on the same thing, have any of you ever been to a concert for the Star Wars?
Yes.
You know how they do the tour, the orchestra.
I have not, but I want to.
Yeah, I want to as well. Conrad went, and
that's Marcel's brother. For anybody Conrad, who's
yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, he's the one that got me into X-Wing. So he went. He went to one of the big ones that was here downtown at the Chicago Theater, and it's literally a block and a half away from me. And then he texted me. He's like, "Hey, look where I'm at." Instead of telling me like ahead of time, like, "Hey, I'm buying tickets. Do you want to get in? You want to come with us?" He just at the last minute is like, "Hey, look where I'm at." Like, jerk.
All right. Here's a music question. Do you
I didn't get the same effect.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ryan.
Well, so yeah, the Empire is very iconic. I think one that's kind of underrated, the Resistance one. You're like when the Resistance is coming in, saving everyone in episode 7.
Yeah.
Then I had to think, like, what is even the Republic or Separatists? I realize the Separatists is probably in episode 1 when all the droids are being dropped off by those MTTs and they're about to attack the Gungans.
Mm. Yep. True. As for Republic, I know some people are saying, "Oh, Duel of the Fates." Duel of the Fates is not, or should not be, a Republic song. That's about Qui-Gon Jinn dying. That's what that song is about.
That's Maul versus Obi and Qui-Gon. That is completely off.
Yep. All right. So here's it actually was in our Twitch chat, not in Discord, asking, do you think that the 20th Century Fox theme before Star Wars movie is considered part of the Star Wars music? All I want is a yes or no question, or answer, excuse me. I will go last. Marcel, yes or no?
I don't even know what the Century Fox theme is, so.
All right. So that's
he doesn't get to answer.
He doesn't get to answer. You know, that means probably a no. I mean, if you remember it that little, then that would mean no. Will.
No.
All right, Ryan.
Yes.
Dion. No. No, it's not Star Wars only. It's everywhere else. Mind you, I will give John Williams props because he did re-record it for the original movies, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway.
It does invoke old feelings of watching it for the first time on, like, VHS when it had that 20th Century Fox, like, trumpeting.
Yep. Fair.
That's why I say yes. It just I invokes nostalgia.
Fair. No, yeah, that's very true. Alrighty. Belinda Mood says, outmaneuver with Zuckuss. Pilot, I'm assuming. Discuss.
Disgusting.
Do you think it's good? So, Zuckuss...
No.
Zuckuss is the G1A that I believe says when attacking, you can roll an extra attack die if you're... and you're... The person you're attacking gets an extra defense dice, right? I think maybe you take a stress to do it or something.
Mm-hmm. No. You don't take anything. You just add one to get
just free.
You add basically a defense and a, like, you add both, but obviously the attack dice have just better probability than the defense dice. But so the answer is a 1,000,000% no. Terrible idea because very specific reasons. One's because it's a medium base ship without the boost ability. It has the barrel roll ability. But it's not really going to be arc dodging anyone.
Right.
And with only 8 health, as compared to like a, you know, the Kimagilas or other ships that have 9, it only has 8 health. So it's going to die really fast. So most of the time you're going to be shooting ships that are coming at you because they're going to kill you because you have a potential 4-die attack gun. They're going to get you off the board. You really can't avoid them. And you don't have any significant way to double action. So you're typically going to be not having any defensive modifications because you want to take advantage of the gun. So, yeah, no at many levels.
All right. I'm in the same boat. I mean, the idea there being with outmaneuver, you like plus one for me, minus one, plus one for you. It leaves you at the same number of dice. Also, a lot of points to pull that off, right? It's
a whole lot cheaper if you just instead of trying outmaneuver flank around them, it's still you're still likely in a jousting situation to take advantage of crack shot. So use crack shot, 1 point. Still get rid of that one extra rolled successful agility. Not just getting rid of one that might not even roll successful in the first place.
Very true. And Will, any additional thoughts there?
I mean, from what you described, it sounds like great bait. if you're really trying to keep some other ships alive, sounds like Zuckus is going to draw all that attention. I'm personally a fan of Trick Shot Kira on any scum ship, honestly. But Zuckus can shoot, what, a 5-dice attack then? 6-dice?
With Kira, yeah. Trick Shot? Yeah, it'd be 6.
Well, if it's range 1, it's 6, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Nice. All right. Next one. I'm also working on my homework on the side here. let's see. Which, by the way, anybody who's just tuning in is we're going to give what we think the Razor Crest might look like at the end of this segment here when it comes to X-Wing. So ship ability, stats. Oh, by the way, guys, you need to also write down on your card or whatever you're doing what's the base size, small, medium, or large. I'm curious there. So here is Nathan Phil asks, I'm newish to the community and am really curious how all the members of the podcast came together, especially since Ryan and Will are not in Chicago. I'm just interested in the backstory of how the four of you came to be the Gold Squadron podcast. So I will start and then we'll just kind of pass it on. All right. So I started the podcast and I asked each of these gentlemen to be a part of the cast. That's essentially how it happened. But our meeting points are all very different, and I will let each of them say that. So, Marcel, we'll go in order. Marcel, you're first.
Sure. So, I started playing. I am from Chicago, so I played with Dion at Pastimes. But I honestly, at around the first 6 months that I played, I really wasn't. I mean, I would show up to the tournaments and stuff, but I wasn't really. I don't think I was really social with everyone. Like I was friendly, but I wasn't friends, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, I would just show up at tournaments and stuff like that. And then 6 months after I started playing, I went to Gen Con and won the North American Championship. Dion was there. Ron was there. Ron was in the podcast at the time. And Ron Longy, who was... He kind of like does the X-Wing stuff for Pastimes, right? Yeah, at that point, I think after that one, Dion, at like, I don't know, we started talking more, and then I think I became part of the podcast because after that, then I went and I won the other one, the Dragon something thing.
Dragonfall?
Yeah, Dragonfall. And then after that, I won. Like I made to like the top whatever at Worlds, top 8 I think it was,
mm-hmm.
And then after that, Dion is like, okay, you're good enough to get my attention, Marcel. Would you be on my podcast? So yeah, so it took a North American Championship, a local,
wow.
Pretty large local,
wow, okay,
little mini con, and a top 8 at Worlds for Dion to get Dion's attention to join the podcast. That's well, right? No,
you know what. I'll let you believe what you want. All right, next, Will.
So I first met Dion playing in Adepticon, what, like 17? 2017?
That seems right.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We played a game, had a great time, and then that was That was, I think, Gold Squadron's like biggest event you had covered at that time.
Yep.
Was some sort of pirate stream. that may or may not been allowed, but happened. Yeah, we played a game. I ended up winning that Adepticon. I thought we had great,
you could say chemistry. That, you know, that's what you want to say. You want to say chemistry.
I was stuck on rapport, but that's not it. chemistry is the right word. I jokingly said that, you had to make me official now because you had some betting going on.
Yep.
About a Gold Squadron person winning the tournament. I was like, well, you just make me one, and then you win all your bets. That was a hilarious joke at first. Did the interview podcast afterwards, and then tried to do some crowd funding for a trip to, I had to pay for my trip up front and then get reimbursed for it. So I did some crowdsourcing, and I think you responded within like the hour.
Yep.
And had met my donation goal almost single-handedly. And we've been inseparable ever since.
Bam. And Ryan.
Mine's a bit more recent, although since we are all Midwest, we've seen each other plenty of times at many of Adepticons, the past times regionals, Indianapolis regionals, which 2018 Indiana regionals, kind of where I kicked off some of my more successful competitive games in X-Wing, where I think it started to hit more on the mainstream podcast that, like, I was either mentioned in rankings or results and whatnot, which prompted.
we lost your audio, Ryan.
Is that okay? I didn't know who that was.
Yeah,
that new computer.
He went full robot.
It's good.
Am I good now?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd I leave off at?
Regionals, yeah.
Okay. Well, after some success at regionals, the former OCX podcast had me on a few more times. Worlds had pretty good success, top eight that year. So then they had me on up until pretty much after second edition Worlds. And then Coach was very, very busy from work, and you couldn't continue podcasting. And who else but Mr. Deal Morales reached out almost instantaneously.
I know talent when I see it, okay? I was like, wait, they're done? Okay.
I appreciate it. You know, we always talk a lot at events. We catch up, and Will and Marcel always had good times. I think the most common thing that we ended up doing after most events that were anywhere near Chicago was end up at a pizza place getting Chicago deep dish pizza somewhere. So it just fit in very well, and everyone was. I always like being a part of a pretty chill group of people that pretty even keeled and doesn't need to be like minded. You know, I'm good with debates, but like nothing that goes way off the deep end in either perspective. So. Yeah, it's just been great success so far. Six, 7 months now. No regrets.
Yeah, one of the things I do remember one of the first like conversations we had, Dion.
Uh-huh.
Not first conversations total, but like over after a bit was actually about that. There wasn't a whole lot of brown representation.
I remember this conversation.
Yes.
I think we've said this a couple times. I don't know if maybe you've only ever listened to the podcast and missed the few times we've said this. Marcel and I are both brown people.
Oh, yes.
Spoilers.
I'm a much more handsome version of brown.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Anyway.
Just wrap it up.
Okay. My daughter told me I am cinnamon. Okay. She got this book. It's really cute where they talk about colors of different people. She goes, "Poppy, you're cinnamon." And I was like, "Oh, sure."
Cute.
Anyway, But yeah, I remember that. Cool. All right. Well, the moment you guys have been waiting for, let's go ahead and reveal our Razor Crest stats. You guys have them written down? No cheating. No changing once people start saying it. Okay.
I was in the process of finishing out the last bit of the numbers of attack, agility, shields, and hold.
All right. I'm almost done. I'll go first.
Mine.
Unless are you, Will, you ready to go?
No. Mine might be too powerful. It might be on the outrageous side.
Mine is too strong. Okay, I'll go first, okay? So, they haven't, like, again, anybody who's just joining us right now, they haven't announced that the Razor Crest is, like, on the way or anything, but we're pretty sure it's going to happen. That was the first question we brought up, and we gave everybody a little bit of time to work on it. I'll go ahead and go full screen with my face here. You guys can see what I wrote here. Okay, so I'm thinking the Razor Crest will be a large base ship, okay, with a 3 attack die gun out the front, 1 agility, 4 hull, 5 shields, and 1, 2, or 3 charges depending on the pilot, okay? So as for actions, I'm thinking that we could have a focus linked to a red barrel roll, a lock linked to a red barrel roll, a white barrel roll, a white evade, and a red boost. Then those charges are non-recurring, by the way. Depending on the scale of the pilot, are essentially an old first edition push the limit, but instead of taking a stress, you take, it's like something along the lines of you may perform an action after you perform an action, or you may spend a charge to perform an action after you do, you must take a strain and a deplete. So this is more, I'm thinking more defensive in nature. Like if you got to move or you're going for that one big hit, you know, and you want that additional action. Now this could be, I would want it to be worded as action so that you could not necessarily do like focus, use the ability, and then do the shenanigans. I guess you maybe could do it in that order if I worded it badly. But something along those lines is what I was thinking. All right. Who wants next?
I can do it.
Do it.
So I'm going to go Razor Crest medium base. No linked actions, just focus, lock, jam, which was a big part of one of the episodes, and red boost. Attack value 3, agility 2, shields 3, hull 7. So similar total value to Fire Spray. They do denote this as a similar patrol craft to what the Fire Spray was as well in canon. 2 crew, sensor, mod, and cannon.
I didn't even do that part.
And talent, you know, as pilots necessary. And ability. So it's not game breaker or anything, but I think it's interesting. I kind of dub it old reliable because we've seen the ship, like, they talked about it. Oh, it's not optimized. It's not set at really max efficiency by the droid in that same episode, but it still worked well. It still got the job done. So during the system phase, you may take a strain or deplete token to flip a face-up damage card face-down.
I like that.
Action, if you are, and you give the option, this action is added as a like worded action, not on your bar, but action, if you are not strained or depleted, you may repair 1 face-down damage card.
Oh.
So it's like a built-in droid repair, but you can't flip in the system phase 1 face down and action to repair a face down in the same turn.
Cool. I like that.
Before we jump off, Ryan, what were your attack, agility, hull shield again?
3, 2, 3, 7. So 3 attack, 2 agility, 3 shield, 7 hull.
So, and what size base did you say?
That'd be medium.
Medium.
I kind of did it off the Fire Spray a little bit. Oh, yeah, only front arc. That's my probably obvious, but some right. people might be like, oh, I don't know. I wanted to make it similar to the Fire Spray, but have some stuff mixed in that makes it a little more different.
Cool. All right. Marcel.
All right. Here we go. Let's see if this works here. Is it?
Oh, hey, that's a decent
focus.
Drawing.
There
Not bad.
There's that. So you see the focus action, target lock action, evade action, jam action, and a red, wait, the other way, red boost. It has a four, count that one, those tres, ooh, cuatro, front arc. It's a front arc, not a 180 arc. One agility, seven hull, and two shields. So it's only nine health. It's a medium base. And it says when you drop a bomb, you may perform an action. If you do, you gain one stress. So the reason it's worded that way is because you can drop a bomb and perform a red boost, but then you end up with two stress if you choose to do that. So basically, it's a little bit like Death Rain. Mm. Death Rain, right? Or is, which one is the one? There's some Punisher that does that.
Death Rain, is, I think, is this the one you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. It's a medium base. Basically, only nine health and one agility. And you're trading off. You can take the evade action, and you're trading off your basically dying faster. But it's essentially a power hitter that dies fast. And the reason I went with a power hitter that dies fast is because in the whole Mandalorian show, like, the ship is basically falling apart. Like, it is, I mean, it's held together with bubble gum and duct tape throughout the entire series. So I was thinking, like, yeah, it probably doesn't need to live very long. And that'll also offset the native four attack dice with a boost and, like, potential of double actions, focus target lock, and dropping bombs, stuff like that. So it'll be powerful, but it'll die. If you focus fire on it, it'll die. So and I was trying to figure out, like, it's dropping a bomb right there, or somewhere over there. Yeah, right there. It's dropping a bomb. And it's hard to see in the cockpit, but that's Baby Yoda in the cockpit.
Nice. Next alt art for patrons brought to you by Marcel Manzano. All right, we'll ship it. All righty. I mean, you got artist blood. Your son's an artist, right? So
maybe, yeah, he is.
Maybe some of it wore off somewhere.
In the art department, the apple fell far, 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 far. It was like a really steep hill on that one.
All right. Look, people are saying I'd take it. All right, Marcel, the commission coming in. All right. All right. And last but certainly not the least, Will.
All right, so I have my little notes here. I have a large base, okay, with just seven hull and two shields. So pretty. What do I say? Like Marcel thought, was fragile. Like, it's not supposed to be around forever. But I do have it as three attack dice, primary out the front, and two agility. It's got focus for the human pilots, lock, jam, all white, and I didn't go with the boost. I went the red barrel roll instead. Okay. So I gave it two agility for this reason, that the ship ability is after you perform a red maneuver, you can exchange your stress token in for a strain. And then I give it a red stop and a three talon roll. So I was thinking, even though it's a large base, can keep its guns on target with just that front arc, which I think is the biggest problem with front arc large base ships, and even medium base ships. Look at Reapers and IGs. We were just talking about how terrible Zuckus was in a medium base ship. Fair. With front arc only. What was the other thing I got? And then, yeah, I basically just want the pilots to shoot stress. Mandalorian, if the defender's in your bullseye and they are dealt a crit, they also receive a stress. But it's for each crit they receive.
Oh, my God.
So if you take two crits, that's two stress.
Double panic pilots feel bad.
Can you imagine drawing, draw both panic pilots in that situation? Like, that is the ultimate panic.
Yeah. And then what was the, in the heist mission, what was the, it wasn't four LOM. It was a different LOM. Do you remember what it was?
I know which robot you're talking about. The one that ends up being the pilot.
Yeah, he's the pilot. He drives the ship.
I got it here. It's
get the Googles out.
Q9-O or codename Zero.
Okay.
They just call him Zero.
Zero has one of those advanced droid brains, so he gets two calculates. And when you, he's kind of like C4, that when you attack or defend against him, he can spend a calculate to stress you.
Ooh.
Whether he is attacking or defending.
What if he spends a calculate to jam you?
Then you're just C4 with a worse ability.
He's all about messing with your communications with that droid. That's what he did in that episode. You gotta do something with jam.
I'll give him focus link jam.
So when he was the pilot of that ship, he like plugged into the system and like was part of the ship. What if his action bar is different?
That's what I'm saying. He's got calculate instead of focus. He has calculate linked white jam.
Oh,
get out there!
There
jamming.
You go. Yep.
Okay, watch out. Well, so did we all end up with 9 health total? I think that was a number that was pretty consistent. I thought
Ryan gave it 10.
Ryan gave it 10 and regen.
Okay, so it's only regen on damage cards, and if you regen, you're either going to have strains or depletes, or you're not going to have your action for mods. There's downsides.
All right.
I make my abilities fair.
I am fair and just. Awesome.
There are consequences.
So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Here, we'll do a quick poll, and then we're going to go on to list of the week. We'll go here and call
it. They might have had better abilities, but did they have this?
there's campaigning. Wow. Campaigning going on. All right. There we go. We'll start the poll. We'll bring it up on the screen. Now, little twist here for list of the week. As you guys know, we started the podcast earlier. We're starting it earlier so that we can start playing X-Wing Mind Games and streaming that content, recording it for you. The first episode was delayed. Should be out this week. No worries, but we're going to stream a game for you tonight. We're only going to be doing one. Two took just a little bit too long. But what we're going to do, we're adding a little bit of a twist to it. So those of you who submit lists of the week, we are going to go through 4 lists. Hopefully we can do that every time. And your 2 favorite lists out of the lists of the week will be what is played for the players. Now, the one rule I'm instituting, or I guess I am instituting a couple of rules for this to keep it fair and just. So we're going to use the top 2 lists of the weeks and whatever they are, unless, okay, so we'll kind of flip a coin, and it's going to be Marcel and I today playing. Now, if Marcel's list is the number 1 list, I will play it, okay? So basically, the player cannot play their own list, is what it comes down to. It has to be one that's not there. When we're,
can I change my list?
Nope. Nope. Played yourself. All right. Then you have to keep the same number of ships in the list. So some modifications to list of the week. Same number of ships in the list. And you can swap up to 1 ship for a different ship type. Okay. Can't go swapping them all, but you can swap 1, and we have to end up with the same number of ships. Alrighty. Marcel, you are up first. You took a list by Johnny Ray. See, I know you went to troll me by taking these Resistance A-Wings. I know. Alright, and it looks like after looking...
That's why you made the rule, because you're like, I don't want to play against no A-Wings.
Yep. Yep. Alrighty. So here, looking at the Razor Crest poll results, looks like William, yours was the favorite, and I was in the dumpster there. All right, congrats, William. You have the best Razor Crest. Also, you also went the extra mile and started giving individual pilots abilities, which is pretty solid. Awesome job. All right, let's go on to this list here. Oopsie. Where'd it go? I lost it. Spoilers for everybody who's watching. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and click the link again because I completely lost it. All right. Marcel, there you go. So this list comes from Johnny Ray. At the moment, I believe he called it Proton Rockets! And he's got 4 Resistance A-Wings. And all four of them except for Ronith. So you have Lulo, ZZ, Greer, and Ronith in that order. All four of them have Crackshot, Heroic, Proton Rockets, and Advanced Optics, except for Ronith that only has Heroic and Advanced Optics. You couldn't quite fit that Rockets in there. So what would you change here?
So I am tempted to put Afterburners on all of these just to mess with you and take the... take all the good stuff out. But I won't. So the main point of the list is Rockets. And the biggest... I don't know what you call it. Like, inconsistency I see in that is that you only have three Rockets and you're calling it Rockets. So let's get the fourth Rocket in there. Let's start by getting rid of Lulo as a pilot. Don't delete him. And switch him to Tally. Basically, you're going to save a lot more points, and since you're fishing for bullseyes anyway, might as well go Tally because Tally gets a bullseye ability. And then we'll get rid of all the crack shots on all of them. And the reason for that is because you're fishing for bullseyes, but how often are you going to get bullseye? And when you get a bullseye, you're going to shoot your Rocket. And Crackshot does not work with secondary weapons. It's only with primary weapons. So might as well use it for... if you're going to get a bullseye, you're going to get your Rocket off, not a Crackshot. And then you add your missile to that homebody there.
Yep.
Y-94. And you know what? I would just leave it at 194 because you got two fives in there and somebody might come in with a 195, 196 Kylo thinking they're gonna have fun with everyone and then they're gonna get a few Rockets in their face. I'm gonna get a few Rockets in my face if you pick this. Don't pick this. This is a terrible list, by the way. Look for other ones.
All right, so you end up with Tally, with Heroic and Proton Rockets, Advanced Optics, ZZ built out the same way, Greer built out the same way, and Ronith with Heroic, Proton Rockets, and Advanced
Optics. Yeah, and a little side note on this one, Ronith's Rocket, if you get it to go off, is that can really hurt somebody. I mean, Ronith's Rocket, because he's got the Advanced Optics, so he's shooting five dice. And he's got his own focus for whatever focus results show up, but then he's got a friendly focus for a friendly, the words. But yeah, he can take advantage of both Advanced Optics. It's kind of like Fanatical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he can use a friendly focus for Fanatical and then his own for Optics.
I like it. All right.
I don't like it.
Our next list here comes to us from Zarcasm, and it's a CIS list. Ryan's going to go ahead and take this one. And in the prompt for this, he was saying that he was inspired by five X-Wing lists. And he has 1, 2, 3, 4 Feethan Atraw autopilots with that's the Initiative 1 Belbalab, by the way, with Wat Tambor. Kraken, which is the tactical relay that allows up to three friendly ships at range 0-3 to keep a calculate over for a turn, and Soulless One. All right, Ryan, what is this? And what would you do?
So I like this as a face list. The five Belbalabs, I think, always had some potential in there. Watt leading it with all of the calculate ones is good. Kraken to help keep a couple of them around. You said I can only change one ship, right?
You can swap one of them for a different ship.
Okay. So at base, I'm going to take one of the Feathen Atraw pilots out because we have 2 points left. We're going to turn one of those into a Hyena Bomber, just a Techno Union Bomber, with concussion missiles to maintain the 3-die attack, similar to all the other ships, landing struts, and we should still have 5 points left for the Coup de Grace, the Dark One probe droids. So now you could potentially enter engagement. Everyone's got target locks, including Watt, who, with his ability, doesn't need them, but it's nice to still have it instead of always relying on your ships to be range one and calculating. But now you have all your ships that have locks, and they could be calculated. Instead of only, like, two to three of the Vethan Altraws, or Watt and two of the Vethan Altraws having double calculate, and the other two just having one of them and can't really share with each other, just part of the power of the CIS lists. But so in this case, you can maintain a couple, and then also the Hyena can just take a calculate and then borrow from the Feathen Outros if necessary or what. Because the droids can still borrow calculates from other ships that don't have network calculations, but if the ship doesn't have network, it obviously can't pull from others. So you gain target locks really early in the game for everybody for more modification and at 200 points. Ideally, if I could swap another ship out, it's actually equal cost to have a plasma torpedo, landing strut, techno union bomber, and Feathen Outro. They're both 35 points. I might have swapped one of those, but for now, we'll just have the Dark One probe droid, concussion missile, landing strut, bomber.
All right, and next we're going to go ahead to Will, and this list comes to us from Navy Nuke 16, and he was looking for a, I believe, a simple squad with not a lot of upgrades for a new friend of his who's going to start playing. There's a five-ship list made up of all TIE interceptors. We have two Alpha Squadron interceptors, which are the Initiative 1s. Then you have two Saber Squadrons, with that. Those are the ones at Initiative 4. And then the Baron himself, Soontir Fel, with Predator and Shield upgrade. You're sitting at 197 points.
Okay, well, to preface this, Interceptor's probably not the best ship for a beginner. They have those linked actions to reposition, and it's a lot of movement to comprehend. But, not to say, cannot be flown, and could very well teach a new player those strategies. First thing I'm going to do, Dion, is we're going to drop the two alphas. I do like the idea of some blockers in there for a spoon tier, things like that. No, we're going to drop them. Actually, you can just drop one of them, because you said that was what the rules were. Switch the other one to the, what are they called? Saber Squadron Aces?
Yep.
Another big thing for newer players is getting as many ships to activate at the same time. It really helps moving ships together and around each other as well. So on that line of thinking, we're going to get another I-4 in there to fly around with the Saber Squadrons. And I was trying to find a Force multiplayer to help out the offense of these Saber Squadrons and Soontir. Couldn't really find one, but what I did come across, though, is Del Miko. It's a I-4 TIE fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Del Miko says, while a friendly ship at range 0 to 2 defense against a damaged attacker, the defender may reroll one defense dice. These interceptors are gonna need it, because a lot of them are only modifying their dice a single time. So that Del Miko could be a make or break, especially for Soontir. Let's see. So what's the... what do you have on Soontir right now? Shield upgrade?
Shield upgrade and Predator.
Yeah, drop the shield upgrade. We're going to have to get crack shots on everybody who's not Soontir. So crack shot, crack shot, crack shot. And we should still end up with 197.
That is correct. So we end up with...
I was just going to say that. Crack shots might not be a new player tool as well, But it's one of those things to like teach them to think about bullseyes, basically. And it's pretty good. Let's not kid ourselves.
So you end up with 3 Saber Squadron with Crackshot, Soontrafel with Predator, and Delmeco with Crackshot. Last but certainly not the least, we have a list from PsychJ7. And that's my starting to edit version. Let me go ahead and slide it over. So no real prompt on this one, just a list. And as it stands right now, it's an extended list with Old Tarok and the Fang Fighter with Fearless, Talonbane Cobra with Fearless and Contraband Cybernetics, Genesis Red with Marksmanship, and Tarani Cold. I would say by looking at the list, the idea is just to kind of have a scum salad, different chassis, so I'm going to try to do that for sure. Now, I don't love Talonbane Cobra just because of the lack of maneuverability. We've seen a little bit of success a couple points updates ago. Last Adepticon, you saw Old Para bring Talonbane with, I believe it was Old Tarok and Ketsu together doing some work. But the reason he lost the game where he got pushed out of the cut was because of the lack of maneuverability of Talonbane. He played really, really well. But if he would have had more options, he would have been better off. So the first thing I'm going to do is, even though I know we really like that Initiative 5 and we have, you know, two Initiative 5s here, I'm actually going to get some points, I'm going to lower that all the way down to Cartel Marauder. We'll leave the Contraband Cybernetics for now. Old Tarok, while I really like the ability to strip some tokens, I'm going to immediately go ahead and reach for Fen Rao. He's just a better ship. It's just the truth. Now, even though he gets a lot of heat on him, this is where you can end up getting some different options, forcing people to spend tokens, and you can use your marksmanship auto blaster shenanigans with Genesis Red. You also have an option, depending on what you want to do, to actually change it to Leighton Ashara, which has an ability that is more likely to go off than Genesis Red. I think it's flavor to taste, though. It's only a 1 point difference. On Tarani Kolda, looking at Predator, I like Predator, but I think I want to see if we can get Snapshot in there just so you can get the synergy. We're over 2 points, so I think at that point I'm looking at Genesis Red and going down to probably just a Tensari Point Veteran and leaving it there at 200. So you got Fen Rao now with the Cartel Marauder and Contraband Cybernetics, the Tensari Point Veteran, Initiative 3 with Marksmanship and Auto Blaster, and Tarani Kolda with Snapshot. All right, so after looking at those, hopefully you enjoyed that. Let's go ahead and vote, and let's find out which was your favorite lists of the week and find out what we're going to play in X-Wing Mind Games. Marcel and I are going to play here in a minute, so let me go ahead and put
it's
that.
It's not only
up.
The favorite list, it's also like what you actually want to see.
What do you want to see played? Originally, our theme was going to be the new points, but obviously because we don't have them, we had to change that up. So what we're doing, it's a little bit of shenanigans here, but I think it's fun. I'm calling the format Overdrive. You may spend 221 points on your squad, but you cannot have more than 5 ships. You must have 2 to 5 ships. And you may only have 2 copies of the same ship in your list. So that's going to be next Saturday. All right. So if you guys want to join us for that live coverage, go ahead, join us on Saturday. If you want to become a part of the Flight Club and participate in one of our games, either as a player or as a commentator, go ahead and type !! Flight Club for that form. So now we have taken a look at the list of the week results, and less than half of our audience has participated. Why? You guys don't want to control your content. I'm giving you the option. All right.
Let's give them a little bit extra time while I clarify which Saturday are you speaking to when you say next, because clearly this Saturday is 4th of July.
Oh, we're going to be
Some people think next as in the next Saturday or the next week Saturday.
Our next broadcast will be on the 4th of July. We will celebrate by exploding ships. That's the plan.
With, with overpoint ships.
That's right. Because if we're going to go, we're going to go big, right? Big booms is the plan. So, should be fun. And it looks like Marcel's A-Wing list was the favorite. And then we have William Hagwood's TIE Interceptors in second place. So, Marcel, looks like you're playing some Interceptors, and looks like I am playing some Resistance A-Wings. Some unoptimal, but it'll be interesting.
Suboptimal for who?
I don't know. Both.
I chose that list thinking, like, if I win, I'm going to fly it.
Nope.
So I think most of the chat just wanted to have Dion play against A-Wings again, but Dion's taken the A-Wings for himself.
That's right. I bamboozled. I built in insurance when I saw Marcel put, oh, let me do this list. And I was like, mm-mm. All right. So, everybody, don't leave if you're watching live, but if you're listening at home, remember you can tune in live every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday to our live content. Thank you, everybody, for watching and for listening. Gold Squadron out.